I was actually noticing on our page that listener Curtis Rich said that it doesn't matter what we talk about, he enjoys listening to us. So I think for the next 2 hours we should talk about kitten photos we find on the internet and just see how that goes.
Fine. That's awesome.
You could do a whole show on kitten photos.
We could.
We can do anything we want, damn it.
It's a free country.
Yes.
Yeah, we do have a lot to talk about on today's show, actually, which is unusual for us. Typically, there's nothing to talk about.
Patterson film default.
That's right. That's the go-to. I think we can go the whole show without even bringing that up, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well,
do you want to put money on it?
No, I'm not putting any money on it at all. And I know this is unusual for our faithful listeners that we're going to immediately start talking about Bigfoot and not, oh, I don't know, about daylight savings or some nonsense. But
believe me, I think most people would appreciate that. Because it's actually called The Bigfoot Show.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. So we'll hold off on the kitten photos for next time.
But feel free to post them to The Bigfoot Show.
Oh, yeah. Page. Actually, we would love to see those. Yeah, please do. Post them. So we have a list. The first thing that I have on my list, I'm just going to pick this thing at random, is this thing that we posted a little while back, the coyotes that avoid camera traps. Did you guys have a chance to look at that? Or should I preface it a bit more than that? Do we just assume that everyone knows what I'm talking about when I write?
I would preface it. Give the gist.
The gist was there's a paper that was posted to our Facebook page. Actually, I posted to our Facebook page. Alton Higgins originally found it and distributed amongst the people in the TBRC a study that was done. The people are studying coyotes in California, and they discovered that the alpha coyotes, the alpha males in the pack, are never photographed by game cams in their home territory. Other coyotes are, but those alpha coyotes aren't. And these are game cams that are placed out in the boonies. You know, they're not next to trash cans or something like that. They're out in the woods, and they never get photos of these alpha males. And
you know why that is, don't you?
They have better agents.
They're not Acme cameras.
They're not. Right.
Paul's on fire today.
He is. I'm in trouble. Okay.
So yeah, me too.
Which is interesting. So, you know, the conversation this raised within the TBRC was that it had been sort of like the stated opinion of the TBRC that Bigfoot had no idea what these cameras were, so that, you know, they're not actively avoiding cameras. They're just walking around in the woods.
Before we go on, what sort of cameras are these? I mean, these are obviously the game cams that you strap.
Yeah, the game cams. I don't know what model.
But what triggers them?
IR is probably IR, like any other game cam. I don't know that they say in the report specifically what models are using. It is from a few years ago, so they're certainly not sort of state of the art.
Yeah.
They're probably showing a little red light at night, and they're probably being triggered via IR.
It's actually a monkey grinder holding one of those flash things from the 1920s, trying to stay still.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me that they notice them.
Yeah.
It surprised me a little bit that they'd avoid them. But noticing them, you know, I've experienced my own dogs doing that when I've put a video camera recording them and just left it alone, walked down to the room. When the video camera's rolling normally, not the slightest bit interested in it. As soon as you switch it to the infrared mode, they will, or at least when I did this experiment some years back, they'd stop and look at the camera.
Right.
So they notice that there's something different about it.
Right.
They just don't know, you know. I don't know what it is that they're sensing or what they're looking at, whether they can see something that I can't. Because certainly the camera didn't give off a little red light that says, you know, this is infrared. At least it wasn't noticeable to me. But then again, well, I've got human eyesight. It's not that great.
Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, the one thing is on these cameras, there's a relatively narrow cone of viewing that they have. It's looking straight out, and you have a certain amount of degrees that go out that something will trip the camera. I think it's obviously pretty friggin' ridiculous to think A, if they're Sasquatch, that they would in any way know this is something that's going to be capturing an image of them. I think that's and so my question would be, does this signal that comes out because it's IR or whatever, I would think that it kind of goes, obviously it can't go directly behind the tree because the tree is in the way, but where does that emanate? Does it go in 180 degree span around, or does it go out generally where the view of the camera is?
From what I understand, every camera is a little bit different, and the better cameras have wider fields of vision, so to speak, in their sensor sweep. That sounds like Star Trek now, but yeah, it's generally in front of the camera, and it's not, especially at night. It's, you know, the effective range of these things are cut in half at night because it's using IR, not ambient light. What's interesting is it seems to me that these coyotes are avoiding things that aren't natural. You know, they know they're out of place. I don't know that they're sensing, you know, because, you know, we've been talking about this for years on places like the Bigfoot forums, that electronics create sounds that animals with really good hearing can hear that we can't. But I don't know that these cameras are even doing that when they're being avoided. I think they're being avoided because they're not supposed to be there.
In order to avoid what is not being there, you still have to know it is there. So how close has, let's say you've got a Sasquatch and they're picking up the sound or the smell of the human is around, that seems like a more likely reason. If there would be a load of human funk all around there. And so if that's a genetic memory thing going on there, that for whatever reason they don't want to get close to it.
Yeah.
It is not that weird to me that there hasn't actually been a snapshot taken of no snapshot taken of a Sasquatch with one of these cameras. And the reason is, having been in these areas, there are so many friggin' potential avenues of ways to go.
Yeah.
You know, people go, well, they're just going to use a game trail. You know what? You've got a game trail, fine, but you can then look to your left 3 feet and then, oh, there's a straight shot. I could go right through there and three more feet. So it's just, I think it increases the odds of getting a shot of them, but it isn't some kind of strong death knell to the probability these things exist. Because how many, if you really look at how many game cams you think are really out in prime, what most researchers would consider prime Sasquatch area?
Well, it's interesting. You bring up three really good points. The first one is about the smell. What the TBRC knows, bears are attracted to these things. They are attracted to the smell. They like the smell of the plastic. They like to eat these things. I mean, they have to put them in steel boxes because the bears will like destroy these things just to get to the insides because they can smell them. Bears have incredible senses of smell. I don't know that we have any reason to believe or any way to know if Sasquatch have terrific senses of smell, but bears obviously have unbelievable senses of smell.
Typically apes don't have great sense of smell.
No, I can't smell anything.
I mean, gorillas apparently are notorious for their poor sense of smell.
Right. Yeah. So there is the question of whether or not they smell them, or if the human funk is, as you say. You know, I know that they go to a lot of effort when they're putting these cameras out down in Oklahoma to try to mask human scent, but I don't know to what extent that's even possible. You know, I've seen studies that say that animals can still smell us, even though we do all the things that we try to do to mask our smell. The other thing you said was the putting them along trails where you think that it's interesting that this has sparked a debate within the TBRC. As far as I know, there's two large scale camera trap operations happening in the country. As far as I know,
there's Olympic Forest,
the Olympic Forest, which is the BFRO operation.
Right.
And then there's the TBRC down in the Ouachitas. They've only got the one spot that they're putting cameras in right now. So, you know, I don't know how many cameras the BFRO have out, but to your third question about how many cameras are out there, I'm going to guess it's 50 to 75 cameras in the entire country that have been put out to find Bigfoot.
And I would even say maybe even a little bit higher, but still, let's say if it was 100, even 150, which I think is way high at the potential.
Yeah, I think Scott's probably right. I mean, there are a lot of independent guys working maybe with two or three cameras. I mean, these things aren't cheap.
No, they're not. But good ones aren't.
Yeah, the figure's going to be about 150.
So I'm going to try urinating on the next one I put out, just to see if that helps.
Yeah. I know that the TBRC are currently debating radically changing how they deploy cameras, and this coyote report has influenced that quite a bit. trying to put them out in a way that it would be, to Scott's point, difficult to evade. But again, you need so many cameras. So the
that's the key. That's why I think we talked about it on one of the last few shows, is the fact of, if somebody says, well, what would be your ideal research situation? And, money, no object. And that would be, you pick an area that's historically rich, a recent credible sighting you really feel is good. And then you have to be willing, obviously, if there's unlimited cash, knowing that, maybe some stray, pot growers up there, who knows, going to find a couple, maybe steal them, maybe bash them, whatever. But you've got to lay a lot of them out, and you got to do it quickly to minimize the amount of scent and then get the hell out of there. And still, I think it's a low probability thing, but I think you've increased your chances.
Yeah. In the TBRC, they're trying to come up with a configuration that will allow them to cover each other. So that any animal, not just Bigfoot, but any animal would not be able to sort of proceed through the area without being picked up by at least one. So they're trying to create sort of an overlapping bubble of camera coverage and put it in front of a natural thoroughfare. And again, you're talking a large space. I mean, what they're looking at is like over a mile wide. So this is going to be, this is a long term. I mean, if this is the direction we're going now, you're talking lots and lots of cameras and lots of money.
Yeah, yeah. And plus, I think these things, given whatever region that they would be in, would prefer, for many reasons, eating-wise, hiding, and comfortability, are living in the thicker stuff. That's another problem in relation to putting cameras up.
Sure.
Because, like, the thing that happened to me in 92 when we actually put cameras up near the top of the hill, it's so dense up there, and you're just trying to find these little, but it really struck home at that time. I'm like, wow, I put it here, but look, there's this avenue that, like I said before, so it's a crapshoot. And it's not, when you hear an ultra skeptic say, like, well, God, you put cameras out, you wouldn't, I go, well, you know what, maybe you should go out there and really visualize it and imagine there is a few of these things out there, and what are the odds they would go right in front of that tree within a 30, So it's not that weird, that I think that they haven't gotten the shot.
Of course, what we're not taking into account here is we're giving an estimate of a sort of 100, 150 cameras, is we're not taking into account all the cameras that are put out by hunters.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, that's an excellent
point. Tens of thousands of those.
Yeah, and that's in that realm, that would not surprise me, much like the fact that maybe some kid somewhere actually has a tooth of a Sasquatch or something. That you've got maybe your average hunter, your average person who's not into this phenomena and is not willing to come forth, it would not surprise me if somebody somewhere actually got a shot, but they're like, you know what, for whatever reason, maybe he's just like a total Sasquatcharian or humanitarian, whatever. He doesn't want it exposed, He's like, oh, God, I don't want to go. First, they'll think I'm crazy, or you know what, let's leave these things alone. And let's, because I don't want some Joe Blow coming into my hunting ground, a bunch of Sasquatchers coming around here, messing up my deer stand or whatever. So who knows, maybe one day. But still, even if they did, a still photo, because these things are so close to us, how are you going to differentiate it from a hoax? It's just...
it'd be difficult. And that gets back to the really good cameras, the standard cameras that have been around for a while. Cameras by Cuddyback or someone like that, you might get one or two shots, but some of these better ones, like the ones that the only kind that the TBRC put out anymore, are they'll take tens of shots a second, and I don't know if it's exactly 60 frames a second, but I mean it looks like video, so you might be able to get some movement and do things like an IM index analysis or something like that. I don't know, but it's interesting. This kind of goes into a call. One of the things that we've added to the Bigfoot Show is a listener question and comment line.
Sweet.
And, I haven't mentioned that number yet. For those of you who are interested in leaving a question or a comment about the show, you can call 612-424-3920 and let us know.
What was that number again?
That would be 612-424-3920.
Thank you.
And we have a call I'm going to play right now, and this is the first time we've done this, so I'm not sure that the guys are going to be able to hear it or that anyone listening to the show will. But if you can't, I'll go in and I'll make sure that
– I'll mimic what exactly.
I'll add it to the show. So I'm going to play the first call now.
Hey guys, this is Steve LeMay calling from San Francisco, California. Big fan of the show, and I had a comment. I was thinking about what you guys were saying a couple weeks ago about how video evidence can always be faked, so it's never really going to be adequate proof that Bigfoot exists. And the thought I had was, it might be adequate if you could film yourself getting attacked by the Sasquatch. And if you were able to wound yourself in that fight, you'd have that on film, and then you'd have the corresponding physical wounds to link up with that film, therefore proving that the film wasn't 3D animation or something. Anyway, that was just my thought. Okay, bye.
Did you guys hear that?
No.
Okay, that was the Steve LeMay call about the getting wounded by the Bigfoot.
Yeah, I listened to it before you Skyped.
Okay, so pretend like you could hear it, and then we'll start.
Okay, pretend as though.
That was a great call, wasn't it?
That was, boy, Steve is, by the way, I got a shout out a little for Steve there. Actually, Steve is a fan of the show, works at Apple, and got me a sweet deal on my, not my iMac, but some Final Cut Pro. Totally legit, you know, like a friend discount thing. So there's a little shout out to Steve there. Thanks, Steve.
Hopefully
don't
Steve
call him Bob.
His job now.
Yeah, exactly. No, totally legit. He's a cool guy. I shouldn't have mentioned that at all. Okay.
I know that Steve Jobs listens to this, so if he...
Yes, exactly.
So anyway, the idea of the best way to prove that your film is real is to be mauled by the Bigfoot on camera.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's sound. But then again, how do you know you didn't hire a guy in a suit to cut your arm off? See, Steve, it's a nice try. But again, even self-maiming has problems when it comes to the scientific.
It method. All depends on the type of wound as well. I think if it's like a strike, if it's like an impact wound where you're just bruised, you'd have to like a tooth kind of thing. Like it would be like
well exactly
your face. Then you could like do a. That would be harder to fake, I would think.
It's like maybe like the Ted Bundy thing. You know how he was finally caught, the forensic evidence that caught Ted Bundy,
no.
Or the thing that was conclusive, is his bite marks. We're in the buttocks of one of the unfortunate ladies who were killed by him. And that's how they conclusively linked them up. So perhaps, yeah, if a Sasquatch actually bit your arm off or bit your buttocks, which I would prefer. It's been a little dream of mine for years.
The video of a Sasquatch chomping on your ass.
Using that analogy, wouldn't you need the Sasquatch to match the teeth marks up?
Well, it would be obviously not.
I knew there was a reason you're a forensics dude.
Well, what I'm saying is, but it would show non-human dental forms, perhaps. I again.
Well, see, there you get. Then you could go. How do you know it's not a stunt guy in an outfit but with a fake set of chompers?
So even Steve, I'm going to give you bonus points for creativity, but apparently, sorry, no, being mauled on camera would not be good enough.
If there's enough saliva, then you could presumably collect some DNA.
That's a good point.
Mm. No, that's a really
which would
good
be
point.
Unknown, obviously.
Yeah,
Steve, don't take this as any kind of discouragement for you not to go out and do this.
No, I think it should be recommended.
As we say when we're brainstorming with our clients at work, there is no such thing as a bad idea.
I think
unless of course you've been to the Bigfoot page.
Yeah, in fact, I actually don't believe that, but I'm supposed to say it. So there is no such thing as a bad idea. Thanks a lot, Steve. But no, that's not going to work for us.
Unless, of course, all the mauling was from the human end, and and Steve goes out and mauls a Sasquatch.
Oh, then he'd have all kinds of. He could like conceivably have DNA under his fingernails.
Again, to be recommended.
Yes. Yeah. Maul the Bigfoot.
Wouldn't that be strange if he actually transformed slowly into a Sasquatch, kind of a vampire?
Yeah.
Did you guys?
Yeah.
The only thing I'd say is obviously if he's about to maul or be mauled, it's probably a good idea if he puts his camera on a tripod first.
Or on a
otherwise
stump.
It's going to be very shaky and we're not going to see much.
It would be useless. That's a really good point, Paul. You can't be holding the camera.
No.
If you're being mauled by Bigfoot, you have to set it on a stump or on a rock.
And obviously, if I was out with Steve, obviously with the camera, not a good idea either, because I'm going to be running away as fast as I possibly can.
I would
try jerry-rigging that camera to your ass. That might be good, pointing right at your buttocks that you think the Sasquatch might actually take a chomp out of.
Yeah, and one of those helmet
cams. You have a spare camera
as well.
Helmet cams, yeah. If I was with Steve, and I would...
And a butt cam.
That's a different show altogether. To your point, Paul, I would be running away, but I would promise to set the camera down first, pointing towards the event.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, what's the point? It's all for nothing.
Okay.
Did you guys see the for some reason I left this off our list of show notes, but obviously we're going to talk about it. The Bob Saget Strange Days BFRO
Watch
a Fest?
No,
I thought it was really good.
You didn't see it, Paul?
Oh, no. Didn't have time.
Okay. All right.
Well, if you go to anetv.com, it's there.
The links on the links on the Bigfoot on the Bigfoot Show Facebook page.
I thought it was good, man. I thought it was really it was had a nice balance.
Yeah. You know, it reminded me of something you would do, as a matter of fact, Scott.
Not as well as I would, obviously. No, I think Saget did a really, really good job. I mean, it was, you know, it just showed the fun of squatching, how it can be fun. And they had, you know, Bobo is such a great character,
right,
even though he's threatened to beat me up, because I think Bob Gillen's perhaps lying. Anyway, see, there it is. We got the PGF mentioned. Awesome.
That's why I didn't bet.
Bring it up. But no, I thought the editing was pretty, I mean, there were some really funny moments. I genuinely laughed out loud. And I think you could tell that Saget actually does find this interesting and is open to the possibility.
Yeah. I mean, he said as much at least twice in the show.
Yeah. And it sounded sincere to me. It really didn't seem like he was just saying that, you know, they could have gone over the top snarkiness, but it was more lighthearted and, I thought it was good.
It seemed to me as though he was having fun with them and not at their expense. You know, he was,
no.
And it is. I mean, even though, you know, we could talk about the individual characters later. He didn't. You know, I know a lot of these guys, or not a lot of them, but several of them.
I know. Yeah, I met several.
And they captured them. You know, I mean, that's Bobo. I've met Bobo a few times. That's Bobo. I know Tommy Amarone pretty well, and I've been out with him several times. That was Tommy Amarone. I mean, they captured them. They didn't turn them into people they weren't. They didn't edit it in a way that was especially unflattering. I thought that it was realistic, and that is essentially what it's like when you go out and do this. There's, you know, hijinks and that sort of thing, and it's
a lot of wishful thinking. And I thought it was funny. They actually perhaps got rarer footage than actually get a Sasquatch. That is actually Moneymaker nearly flipping out.
Yeah, that was silly.
That was pretty funny. I mean, Matt, it showed the both sides of Matt. I mean, you can see Matt is so into this, and he always has been. I mean, he's very intense and he's very focused, and he can snap. But I mean, the stuff in the back seat with him, and when they're looking with the infrared stuff, and Saget sitting next to him, and Moneymaker's basically telling him to shut up, and then, you know, Saget's looking at the camera. It was really funny.
Yeah,
I thought
that was classic. Matt Moneymaker. The bit where he's driving. Now imagine I don't know if it comes across perfectly well in the show, but they're driving down a forest road, no lights, right?
I love that. I can tell him Moneymaker would totally do that too. It's like, hey dude, if we're gonna see one, man, we gotta do it this way.
He's got one hand on the monocle, right? The infrared monocle, the other hand on his radio, steering as I think
Saget, his testicles.
His testicles. And he's speeding up. There's definite sort of a terror in Saget's voice there that I
and you know what I mean, they were definitely concerned.
Yeah.
But you know, Matt was, I think, research wise right in that. He was minimizing their visibility as much as possible.
Yeah.
Increasing.
That's a method that I've thought about lots of times, this idea of sort of creeping down a road like that. I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, in connecting to like what we were talking about, the cameras on the trees, it is a great method to do that. But I would just, you know, to again, say to any ultra skeptic listening is that, well, why, by now you'd have one, you know, you'd have a vision of one. I go, dude, if you take any chunk of road, how many miles of dirt roads there are, say just the Pacific Northwest, is mind-boggling. It's like tens of thousands of roads like that.
Yeah.
So your odds, what you're doing there is increasing your odds. You're going to have a hell of a lot better shot than doing that in downtown Portland. You know, so you're just going out in a place where they possibly could, but you're still, you know, you're going to get lucky if you see one.
It's not dissimilar to the argument that you always have with your wife about whether you should circle round a car park looking for an empty space or whether you should sit still and wait for somebody to come to their car.
That's a good analogy, actually. That's really good.
It is.
Are you more likely to get the empty spot by driving around in an otherwise full car park?
Well, the trouble is the car space, though, is motionless. The analogy doesn't fully hold up because we're looking for something that would probably be moving through a zone. So,
what he's saying, though, no, but you're waiting for the person who's going to open a space to come to you versus trying to find them.
Yeah.
We got to send this to Mythbusters. This is a perfect Mythbusters kind of thing. I could see, you know, Carrie and what's his face sitting there in the Mall of America parking lot waiting for someone to. This is perfect.
Yeah, there's no explosions involved. So
no, there's not. You're right. It would be somewhat.
Well, and it's not you can't disprove a negative. There's nothing really to test with them.
They can. Yeah, they would totally know how to do it. At the end, Paul, I think they would blow up Picard just because.
Yeah,
because they can.
Because they can. Exactly.
With a Sasquatch dummy in it. Did you see their Punkin' Chunkin' special, by the way, on the Science Channel? It was really good. It was 2 hours long about the whole Punkin' Chunkin'. It was awesome. I recommend it.
No, yeah. we always get them about a year late here and dubbed into English.
Wow, no, they're that illiterate?
No, I'm serious. The voiceover, they redo with an English actor.
Oh.
I hate. I think it's an awful way to do it.
Yeah.
Because you can just tell the guy knows he's got the shittiest job in television. and he hams it up. I mean, he really does ham it up. I don't understand it. We understand Americans perfectly well.
We can't understand you, but you can understand us. Right.
But anyway, I don't know. I can remember reading about Patterson and Gimlin went out in the evenings when they were down in the Bluff Creek area in their truck.
Supposedly.
The logging roads. Supposedly.
Yeah, I remember that as well. They also drove the roads, I think, looking for tracks during the day because there were...
Apparently.
That, yeah, lots of... Oh, shut up. You don't even believe that they drove around looking for tracks?
Yes. Look, I believe Patterson did believe he had that, but I also think he hoaxed a hell of a lot. Let's go to a clip.
Stop.
Okay,
And obviously there are a lot of people that drive logging roads and have different methods of doing it and video cameras and everything else. I don't know. I can't help thinking that the noise of the vehicle, if a Sasquatch is going to cross the road, that unless it's a very busy road, is going to hear the noise and think, oh, do you know what? I'll wait for these bozos to pass by.
This is something that I've... there are so many reports... I know people who have seen them on the sides of roads, or think they've seen them on the sides of roads. They've seen something on the sides of roads. And there's even a name for it. When you go out, it's called road running. You drive around these dark roads at night. I've done it lots and lots of times. Never seen anything interesting. Don't do it with Jerry Riedel, or you'll be out all night long. He'll take you out, and like you'll be pleading, begging with him to take you back, and he won't do it. But he's
wearing pants, right?
He is wearing pants the whole time. Yes. But people see them just walking along the side of the road. What are they thinking? What's going on there? You know, if these are to be believed at all, what's going through the mind of that animal that it would be, you know, just walking along? Like, you know, Craig Wohlheter's in First Encounter, they drove right by it and it never moved. You know, they drove right by the thing and it just kept walking.
Yeah, but
I think the Sasquatch partake in license plate spotting.
it's license plate bingo. Yeah. You think that's what they're doing?
Yeah,
Iowa.
I like the one where have they ever put a non-opposable thumb out though? That's what I want to know.
Maybe they're they want to. They want to hitchhike, but they can't because they don't have the opposable thumb.
I'm a mystery. I can't really do any be proactive on this. I just got to walk on this. Just keep moving. I think it's a statistical thing with this. Again, it's like I've read and seen people interviewed who supposedly have seen these things. I found a lot of them credible. One was that the Washington State Trooper, I think from the 60s or 70s, where he said this thing was walking and he described how he looked out and he had to look through his windshield to see the top of the head. I mean, the guy just seemed like he was telling the truth.
Yeah.
But again, if you take, you know, what you would think would be a base population of these things and then compute it with all the known territory, the roads, it's going to be an incredibly rare occurrence. And so the odds of someone who happens to be interested in Bigfoot,
right.
Yeah.
Compounded with that, is just going to make it really nearly astronomical. So, I mean, you know, one could say that people would say, well, then why did you think you got close to one in 92? I admit I got fully lucky, but I was following up a direct report, didn't expect to see what I saw. And so I don't know what point I'm making.
You went where they were, as opposed to waiting for them to come where we are. And so this, you know, I've talked to this to various people, and some people have said that, you know, well, all animals make mistakes. No animal wants to be seen. A lot of them want to hide. And so these are just instances of you know, the animal making a mistake. Yeah. But
I don't think that's true of my peacocks. I think they're designed to be seen.
Okay, well, if Bigfoot had giant plumage, I would agree with you.
That'd be a lot easier to find him.
But the point is, and one of you said it, if you're like on one of these roads in the middle of the night, you're going to hear the car coming, just duck into the bushes. You know, this isn't a mistake. Yeah. I think that for whatever reason, they're consciously deciding to be there when the car drives by.
You know, the thing too, you could have, here's a thought, that if the type of gravel or road that they're walking on, if it's a gravelly road, when you're out of the woods and you're walking, that's making, even if their hearing is really good, it could diminish what they're hearing coming from behind them. So sure. If it's gravelly, it's rocky, and you know, these things would have pretty rugged feet, it's possible they may not even hear it, opposed to, let's say, a smoother road, so right. which they would seem less likely to be on anyway.
Yeah. So if we could just get these game cams to reproduce the sound of a gravel road, we'd be onto something.
White noise. Maybe they just need to create some white noise.
Yeah. No, donuts!
I don't know. It's very odd. We've all read lots of reports of sightings alongside roads. I mean, the classic sighting is it crossed the road in front of me, three steps, and it was across the road and gone.
Right, yeah.
And that's the most likely sighting, too. I think in Green's book, when he took
it's the most likely sighting because most people don't get out of their cars in North America.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, the way he analyzed with everything that he, you know, taking all the stories, and again, it's assuming that they're all true.
Right.
Is that he said the most likely place to have it would be like September in Washington on a secondary road. So even if you took that data and assuming it's true and you followed that and you went in September and you drove on secondary roads, I mean, again, I think it's a thing of you've just increased your odds, let's say, from 50,000 to one to maybe 20,000 to one. It's better, but it's still like, dude, what are the odds? Again, that's why I think
it's like buying two lottery tickets instead of one.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is, you know, if you don't put yourself there, then your odds are zero. So, you know, you got a much better chance of, even if it's 50,000 to one, if you're out there, as opposed to sitting in your living room watching, you know, Strange Days with Bob Saget, you're not going to see anything there.
True. unless it's in a trailer park in the woods in Washington, and then one might peek in the window, and go, hey, that's my cousin.
So, bottom line on Strange Days,
it's because if your house is on wheels, you're more likely to see Bigfoot because it likes things on wheels.
It likes round things. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Bottom line then on Strange Days, close it up.
I thought it was really good. Better than I thought it would be.
Me too. I'll tell you when I went out, some of these guys were camping with us in last July when we were in California, and they mentioned Bob Saget, and I was like, oh, good for you. But inside, I'm thinking like, really? You went out with Bob Saget? Because I couldn't imagine he was going to do anything that was serious, right? But there could have been the risk. They were running the risk of being made fools of, and I don't think they were. I think that
it was really good balance, and I was a little worried when it started. He made some joke about the Sasquatch hunting. Of course, there's more marijuana grown here than anywhere, which, by the way, I used in Journey Towards Squatchdom 15 years ago, however long ago. Thanks, Bob, for ripping that off.
You
anyway,
your best ideas.
Yeah, not that that's not an incredibly obvious joke. But beyond that, I thought it was really – the in-the-moment stuff was funny, and the voiceover was really funny. I mean, even something as crude – I was worried about that, too. It was going to be too crude because Saget can be too crude. But when that guy – actually farted into the parabolic mic. It was so I mean, if you just told me that, wrote it, I go, that is so cheesy. But the way it was done within, it was just obviously this guy off the cuff did it, and Saget's reaction was funny, and I am actually promoting a fart joke right there. I can't believe it.
Well, some of them are good. Okay, cool. So the next thing I want to talk about is in between the last time we recorded and this time, our friend on the Bigfoot Facebook page, facebook.com, Bigfoot Big guys. It's just Bigfoot, Bigfoot, right? He published, this was around Thanksgiving, I think, the top 100 researchers slash figures in Bigfoot history. These are the top 100 people in Bigfoot that he's thankful. And he says that we should be thankful for these men and women. And I'll say that. But, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's actually, there's a board of them. I don't think it's just one guy who picks, even
really?
Though sometimes, yeah, they're supposedly there's a board of them. I think this guy, Jack Demosthenes Barnes is one of them. And I think, is Chris Knoll involved in this as well? I don't know, but it's some, you know, maybe one guy puts together the list and then they show it, throw it to other people. Okay, that's good or whatever. But however many people there is some really laughable science on that page. It is so, I'm so split on this page.
You just say that because I rank so much higher than you did.
No, no, I don't. No, I.
By the way, by the way,
even higher.
Number 22. That's what I'm number 22.
Yeah, blow me. Okay, so
Scott, you're 45. So I'm twice.
I am 45.
Twice as good as you.
Yes, more than twice as good, and plus a thing. But no, you completely. I mean, what they said about you was really, actually, you know, I never thought about it, but what they said is, I think, largely true. That you really, really, in the realm of the internet, and you and Paul. Together, really. And why isn't Paul on the list?
I don't know. Right? Paul came out very vehemently against this list. And
I wouldn't want to be on a list of that sort anyway. I just...
For the most part, these lists
In principle, I don't have a problem with these sorts of lists. But one of the problems that you have with them is that you're always going to annoy people with them. And... people will look at them and think, oh, why am I listed number 9? I should be at least number 6.5. I'm better than her, or this thing. It does nothing but upset people. So
I think
it's pointless. It's like the top 10 lists we get at the end of each year.
Well, but those
top 10 tech predictions for 2011.
Yes.
And it's full of shite.
I also want to point out, as you say that I am one spot ahead Danny Perez. Danny Perez is 23. And I'm 20.
Oh, he's got to be. He's chafed.
He's seething. He's seething somewhere.
But you know what? He's really.
They called him Danny.
Yeah, they called him Danny. Danny. No. Danny, don't call me Danny Perez or Daniel. Yeah, I love how he demands that from people. Don't call me Danny. Nothing's going to garner more respect when you're demanding someone to call you a certain way. But I think. See, this is the part of the problem with the Bigfoot. First of all, I want to say what I think is great about. Again, it's Bigfoot on Facebook. Yes. What is great is that they're compiling all these possible Sasquatch videos. That's awesome.
Yes.
What's really horrible about the site, their science is so laughably pareidolia ridden.
Yeah, and
it's
no
ridiculous.
Science.
Coupled with, they're obviously trying to market this thing. And they're just trying to, I mean, kind of to what Paul's point was, they want this kind, you know, create a list so people will talk about it. Everybody comes on. It has, you know, the pro, the con. I mean, there's tons of people ripping them a new a-hole, including me. And people who love and believe anything this guy says. And I think part of the problem is when you look at the analysis, they pick a video, right? And like the latest one, we'll get into the swamp logger stuff later. But the guy's voice is so rational and scientific sounding. It meets on 3 of the key points with Sasquatch identification, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But what he's actually saying, the tone of the voice should actually sound like this. Look at your big voice. Right, bitch, a big voice. That's really, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, literally, they're like, they're a little nuts. They're a little market driven and maybe a little, you know, maybe a little dash of Biscardi in there too. And if they're having fun, they're very unclear about it.
There is a tone in the voice. There is sort of there is fun you can hear in the voice, but it's also, but they're not. I think they're deadly serious in some of the things that they say they see, and it is it can be disturbing.
Who knows, you know, exactly how it's distributed here? Like this guy Jack Demosthenes, the Barnes or whatever. We've had some discussions back and forth via Facebook stuff, and wow, I mean, he's like a fairly intelligent guy, but then I was toying, you know, he says it's I said, have you considered you might be experiencing pareidolia in some of these things? You're actually wanting to see something and blah, blah, blah. And then he wrote me back something he goes, hey, you know, Einstein used thought experiments. Like, what? I go, no, these are pieces of video. These aren't like imaginings of like writing on an electron. These are actually images, and you're conclusively determining in a high percentage of them that there's no doubt 100% is Sasquatch.
And we're going to talk about two of these. We're going to talk about two of these. Somebody's phone is going again.
Mine's off.
No, it could be mine then.
It's not me.
They have phones in England?
That's all they have is cell phones in England. I'm going to point out before we move off this list idea, Bob Titmus was on there twice. I see that he's only on there once now. Number 64,
not,
Paul.
Not only is he not on there twice now, the list has gone through a fair bit of editing since
yes,
I
it
last
has.
Looked at it.
Number 64 is open. I'm just telling you, there's still hope.
Well, he's certainly taken on board a few of my suggestions because he's shoehorned Jane Goodall in there. And Richard Attenborough has David Attenborough has been shoehorned in. I don't know who they've taken off the list.
After this show, I'm pretty sure the slot number 22 will open up.
they've now spelt John Green's name correctly.
Nice.
And they've edited Peter Byrne. They've added they've now describing him as the guy with the Irish English accent.
Yeah, I mean, how serious could they have been when they made the list and Byrne wasn't even on? I mean, Byrne is, you know, one of the four horsemen of Sasquatchery, for God's sake.
Well, Byrne was on there, but they didn't know enough about him
right.
And described him as being English when I don't think he's ever been English.
And I mean,
his accent is a blatantly Irish accent. I mean, all right, it's not the Irish accent that you put in American movies, but it's an Irish accent, and they didn't know enough about him to know where he came from.
His description
was
also
very... That's how
much
research they put into this list.
It was very brief the first time, his description. It looks like it's a little longer now than it was then.
Yeah,
Michael Medved. Okay, fine.
Where does he appear on the list?
He's below me. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
All I'm doing is looking at the people who are below me.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Danny Perez.
Like Jane Goodall.
Igor Bortsev, who again, they couldn't spell his name properly. They've copied and pasted the Russian, but couldn't spell the English spelling of his name.
Rick Knoll is below me. I don't know. I just... I understand that making a list like this is going to be really hard. And you know, only one person can hold one spot, even though they do have some people doubled up on spots here.
Well,
but clearly...
They have Patterson and Gimlin in the top spot.
True.
In the top spot, they've got a guy who... To all intents and purposes, was a researcher, hunted down the place where it's most likely to see a Sasquatch, organized a camera, if it's a real piece of film, filmed the damn thing, and the guy that was along for a ride.
Yeah, that's...
That's
Paul,
politics.
If you read what they wrote, it says, some may say they were lucky, and that's certainly true, but no doubt the stress of public scrutiny added to Patterson's premature death. PG is real, 100%. That's good science right there. That is really good science.
All I'm saying is some of these if they had put out this list and said it was 100 in no particular order, fine. But some of these folks that are way down the list seem like they should be a lot higher. You know, regardless of whether or not you think PGF is real, Bob Titmus should be higher. I mean, there's not the 31. He should be higher. I just think
He's on 31.
Yeah, he's number 31. He used to be 31, and I think he was 66 because 66 is 64. 64 is open right now. But
William Evans is number 8.
The hell is William Evans?
We know this is controversial, and he's a little nutty, but has two best close ups of a BF.
Yeah,
I suppose that means not what I think it is. Probably Bigfoot.
Big fraud.
Baby Bigfoot in craw of tree and Bigfoot stepping out. Okay, whatever.
Yeah, that's pareidolia.
Yeah,
crap.
But you know, he's got some of the best examples of that that you can find on the internet today. I also think
that's only because our backyard isn't alive.
Oh yeah, I love. But they have the negative list too. If you look at the bottom.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we're talking about the top 100 researchers figures in Bigfoot history. It doesn't mean they should be a list of positives.
True. Good point.
I by all means, Beckyard should be on that list.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was a very influential figure.
Yeah, if you put, you made a list of, like, you know, the past, you know, the most effective national leaders of the past 100 years, Hitler would be on that list. That doesn't mean you like him. That just means that he was an effective national leader.
Probably just below Thatcher.
Okay, anyway, and I don't think it's fair to put dead guys, well, maybe, because they got dead guys up above. So I was going to say they shouldn't be picking on Beckyard. He's dead, but anyway, he wasn't dead.
I love how
plenty of dead guys on there.
Yeah,
I love how they characterize it. Cedric John Eric Beckjord offering a copy of the PG film on eBay for $1 million for his fanatical fringe science on TV and radio that pushed Bigfoot into unacceptable science. Hello, pot. Kettle calling.
You could put Henry Franzoni on that list for exactly the same reason.
Yeah.
Henry's at 26, along with Jeff Glickman.
Henry has an his own interesting spot. I mean, stuff.
You should at least give him number 64 now that it's open.
Dude, Paul, I'm voting for you. You're my vote for number 64.
I do. If anybody puts you on that list, I'm going postal on something.
Can you guys tell me who number 2 is? I'm afraid I don't know who Christopher Knoll is.
It's the guy who made the list.
Yeah, exactly. He's one of these guys, dude. See, that's what's so cheesy.
Here's
he's
the
one
thing.
Of the guys associated with this site.
If you make a list of the top 100 of anything, you don't go on the list. You know?
Maybe that was the reason they made it. We'll just mention all the obvious ones.
And I like how he's number 2. Not even like 50. He's like number 2.
I want to know, who is the guy doing the voiceover? Is it Chris Knoll? Who is the guy who does the voiceover? Because, again, it's that sounds good. I'm obviously cheesed about this. I always get cheesed about these guys because you got Joe Blow coming into this phenomena, maybe not that versed in the scientific method. I could just see so many people getting duped by these, you know, when they're clownish in this regard, really bad, just horribly presumptive analysis. Horribly presumptive. Okay, I'll shut up.
Well, let's jump to
Where's Fred Beck on this list? He's just not on there.
No, he's
not. Albert Ospin's on there, lots of other people that have told tall stories.
Fred Beck's not.
DeHinden's at number 9. That's a good place for DeHinden, I think. Number 9 is good.
There's two more things I want to talk about, and one of them is the Swamp Loggers video, and the other is this other video, Southwest Ontario Sasquatch, which, Scott, you brought to my attention the first time. So the point that Scott was just making, Paul, is that they feel like they have to publish all the time, so they're putting these videos up all the time. And, you know, what's interesting about the Swamp Bloggers one is they start out, you know, the first time when they first put it up there, it says in the description of the video, you know, they have question marks. And, you know, could it be the crew or two Sasquatches? You know, I mean, they're not making this sort of like definitive judgment that there's two Bigfoot standing, you know, what looks to me like less than 20 feet away from the film crew and these two loggers and all of their equipment. But in subsequent videos, they've gone over the deep end. It's not only Bigfoot, it's two Bigfoot with a baby, and one of them has a baby on its back. So there's a family of three Bigfoot back there. And it's just
perhaps different people posting.
Yeah, it could see that's that we don't exactly know what their editorial decision thing, but I just think this is where the BS comes in. I mean, I just think that they feel like they've made statements on there. Well, we've gone out on a limb. We're risking it. Well, you know what? If you're saying you're being scientific, you don't have to risk. Science is in search of the truth, not you making some bold statement for a marketing purpose.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's that thing that's happened at times, I think, with the BFRO. It's like, you know, truth gets chucked out the window or gets overlapped by trying to get listeners. And that's always a slippery slope. And then, you know, people like me want to rail on them.
So we shouldn't do that either, just to get listeners?
At least try to be honest about what we're doing.
We're pandering to get listeners. That's what we're doing.
And the more we talk about them, more people, I got to go check out the site, blah, blah, blah. You know, I just think they're just nutty and obviously interested in the phenomena. It's a weird mix of pareidolia, bullshit marketing, and genuine interest in the phenomena.
So in the case of this Swamp Loggers thing, to me and to most people who are commenting on our page, it looks like people. Does it look like people to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like people. There's people back there. Not Bigfoot. No baby Bigfoot. No matter how far you zoom in on this crappy cell phone to television video. This is not even like straight from the tape, right? This is some guy on his phone and they're zooming in at like, you know, the pixel level, and they're finding like the cones of the baby Bigfoot heads and crap like that. It's nuts. Crazy.
Oh, but wait a minute. I think that they are now, no, their new update is saying we are now uploading. Hold on.
Oh, is there something? Is this breaking? Breaking news?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's breaking bullshit. We are now uploading the pictures from the Swamp Logger's Bigfoot Nest. We have turned it into a compilation video so you can truly appreciate what you're seeing. We have 2 days of development on this video. We realize this is pretty important stuff. This is 100% Sasquatch, as you will see, and it's pretty amazing. FBFB is in deep gratitude for John Dean. You know what? I think Andy Kaufman never actually died. I think he's still alive, and he's running the Bigfoot page.
Oh, wouldn't he love this?
So the new video is 7 minutes and four. Oh, wow. It's like over 7 minutes long.
7 minutes shorter. Yeah. I haven't got time for that.
Yeah, and the thing is, they get these videos up pretty quick, and but it's just so.
So was there poop found at the scene? Somebody's saying something about poop. Am I getting this confused or something else?
I don't know. I don't even, you know, as soon as they make these, I don't even really listen to it anymore, or because it's just crap, so to speak.
Wow. So I'm looking at the comments on the Bigfoot page on Facebook, and these guys, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. A lot of these people are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, that's what chafes my nads.
You have chafed nads?
Yes.
That's uncomfortable.
Besides my unwashed underwear, it's...
I didn't know you wore underwear.
Yeah. I mean, I should stop. I don't know. It's just this. Yeah, I think it could be very well that they've got a lot of administrators. So different people come in and comment, and you've got someone who's a little more semi-rational, and then Joe Cuckoo comes in and makes these bold, oh, yes, it absolutely is. And I don't know. There just seems to be the ethos seems to be just get as much as we can on there. Just keep loading the video up, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
The other video that they posted that you kind of liked at first, I don't know if you...
Yes. Now, see, just so that I'm not completely hammering the Bigfoot page, there is that one part of that image.
The Southwest Ontario Sasquatch video, which you can find on our Facebook page. It was posted back on the 18th of November, if you want to scroll down a little bit. And this is a dude. He's out in the woods. He hears... you know, what he describes as clacking sounds, which to me, it's weird. It's a weird clacking sound because it's like the rhythm of it sound like woodpeckers. It sounds like exactly what I've seen. I have not just heard woodpeckers make these sounds. I've seen them do their business. But it doesn't sound like wood, so it's a little weird. But anyway, he's driving around in his car at one point, and there's a shadow, and it could look like something with an arm.
That's the only part of the whole, because this guy who's out there, you know, and they hear the rocks again. I agree with what you said. It could be anything, you know, that to immediately jump to the conclusion it's a Bigfoot doing it is really psychotic. And then they find this like tooth. Supposedly the guy who's shooting the video finds this like a boar tusk on his.
Yeah, it's a tusk. On, I think.
Yeah. And he immediately jumps to the conclusion that, you know, well, that's probably a Bigfoot left a gift.
So we got three things here. We got the sound of the clacking, which we can just dismiss because he didn't see what made the sound. It kind of sounds like woodpeckers. There's lots of woodpeckers in that area. So let's just say it's woodpeckers and forget about it, because even if it's not, what are we going to do with it? The second bit is the shadow in the trees, which.
You were more skeptical. What I would like to see with that is that, because when it does move, there is, when he slowed down the video, there was an interesting aspect to it that appeared to me not to be movement of the camera relative to the object. It looked like it could be an actual arm.
It could be. What I'm skeptical of. No, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say. And so in this instance, what they obviously should do is go back to the exact same site. And if that black thing that is behind is there. Yes. Then it probably is a trick of the camera movement, but you guys know me. I'm not one to
jump on the and that's why I was excited, because you were interested in it and you thought it looked good. So I mean, automatically
worthy of further investigation.
Exactly, and that's what I mean when I say look good. I promise you, my good friends and everyone listening to this show, if I take a video out of my moving car that I think upon later analysis shows a Bigfoot, before I put it on the frickin' internet, I'm going to go back to that spot and make sure that it was a Bigfoot. I mean, come on. This is my problem. I do not believe that a 800-pound animal is not going to be seen when you're driving right next to it. It could have been there. It could have been a Bigfoot. But I'm just going to say that if it's that visible on the tape, you're probably going to have seen it when you were there. And even if you didn't, go the hell back and show me that that shadow is not there now. That's all now, I'm saying.
Just to clarify, I think, though, in the particular video we're talking about, I don't think it was in a car, dude. He was standing there. And then he moved. I don't know, because it's very slow. I'm trying to I can't find it.
That makes it even worse. If he's walking, that makes it even worse.
Well, for those who, I mean, it's not even on the front page there anymore because, you know, they have to post something every 8 hours on
It's easier to find on our page. Just November 18th. It's down there.
Cool. Yeah, I just think I would. Yeah, I'd love to hear actually comments, other people's comments about it. I just thought it was just in the thing that really intrigued me was this potential arm that does come out that just seemed to get out there a little too quickly to be obviously a result of camera movement. That's what struck me. But exactly what Brian's saying. And in fact, I remember the first incident I ever read about this. It's in Green's book, Sasquatch Apes Among Us. It's a great example. A lady had a she thought she saw a Bigfoot. It was like a silverback. It was sitting there on the side of the road, and it was huge shoulders, blah, blah, blah. She'd obviously been reading about Bigfoot law, had Bigfoot on the brain, blah, blah, blah. Well, they went back. I think either Green or somebody else investigated. They found in that area there was a huge stump on the side of the road.
Yeah.
That at night with the lighting conditions, you're thinking about Bigfoot. Whoa, you're looking for, you know, it could do that. So exactly what Brian said. Very important. If you ever think you've got something, go back to where you videotape it, take a picture, and do a comparison. Oh, that is science.
Hold on. You know what I just realized? I just realized I'm not recording my side of the fucking phone call.
Oh, what? Jesus. The whole time?
Brian, I'm recording. Keep going.
Okay, good. So the third bit in this video, beyond the shadow movement of whatever it was, was this guy going around on his bike and then coming back to the tree and finding this, what I think is a claw, what's left of a claw, on his bike seat. So there's only two possible things that could be. Well, three possible things. One, some little critter crawled up on his seat and was gnawing on that thing and left it there for him to find, which I think is stupid. Not the case. Two, a Bigfoot crept up while he was standing there filming and put it on his bike seat and left it for as a surprise.
Which is most obvious.
Obviously. Yeah. And three, he's full of shit and he put it on his bike seat for him
exactly.
to find later on.
And they don't even consider that possibility. No. So that's another example there on the Bigfoot. They don't even consider that. That's not even because obviously this guy said it. It's by default true.
Yep. So worried about that guy.
Little thing we like to call cuckoo.
I don't know. So those were all the things I had on my list. Oh, I have one more. I have two more calls. Let's play another call.
Yeah.
Hey, Scott Harriet. This is Bob O'Neill. I'm on Facebook, and I'm looking at what they're talking about, the swamp logger video, to where it looks like there's some sort of Bigfoot activity in the background. And then they go further to say that they've found a nest with fecal material around it. And I'm curious as to why no one ever addresses the issue of having fecal material tested for DNA. And wondering if there's any way that any viable samples could give any more concrete evidence as to, you know, evidentiary stuff. Anyhow, maybe you can talk about that on your show.
And, you know, ironically enough, we just had, remember, I actually posted.
You did.
I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Yeah, there's a good article if you go to the Bigfoot Show page about how to preserve poop. And yes, it does involve gloves and a container. So that's a positive step. But it and no tasting, which I think is great.
Just to make sure that it's poop and not something else.
Yeah, it talks about the different alcohol to use and how to do it. It actually gets fairly complex, relatively complex, more complex than I thought it would be. But apparently it can. I know Chris Whittier, who was Ape Man, used to be Ape Man at Bigfoot Forums. He was always arguing for this. He said, you know, don't think because you find a big, you know, load out in the woods that you're pretty sure isn't from a bear that you can't get DNA from it. I mean, I think a lot of people assume because there's so much bacteria it would automatically destroy all DNA.
Right.
And apparently it's not true. So I would recommend to anyone who might find or thinks they might have just recently found a Bigfoot turd, read that article, follow its steps, and then use it in a stew.
But it means that if you're going out where you think there are Bigfoot, you're going to have to take some stuff with you, because typically when people, I know people who say they found things and they have nothing to put it in. Like they find some giant turd and they're like, wow, that's not a bear turd, but what the heck is that? And then they put it in a camping, whatever. And it doesn't stay good and it gets all disgusting and, more disgusting than it already was.
It's all about planning. If you're going to go out looking for Bigfoot, you should plan ahead, and you should have some bags suitable for preserving poop or a Bigfoot foot if you find one.
Yes, ethanol. I think it's ethanol filled. You do. I don't know what it is here. I'm looking at the page now, and it's ethanol, and then you and it gets into why it's good for that, and
for some reason you linked the third of three pages. I don't know why you did that.
Because that's what I took that. I actually got that link from, again, another positive.
The Bigfoot
page had it. Right. And as much as I rag on them, ironically, they actually had a scientific thing on their page.
Yeah.
So, I should be able to.
So the alcohol doesn't destroy the DNA? I mean, if you throw it in, they're saying denatured alcohol, 95% ethyl alcohol. Interesting. Okay.
Wow. We were riveting on that little topic, weren't we? Good. Poop, alcohol, gloves.
Make some gloves. And great. Have a good time. And make a stew. Okay. All right. Well, on that note.
You're not still mad that you weren't recording yourself.
Oh, I'm totally pissed that I wasn't recording. So I don't know how this is going to come out in editing, because I'm going to have to edit the hell out of this show. But
be posted ready for July then.
Probably. For the first hour and a half of our show, I wasn't recording my side of the conversation.
But
thankfully, Paul's been through this before, and he recorded. So I'm going to have to take Paul's recording and put it into my recording. But what also happened somewhere in the middle of all that was Paul got disconnected, and Scott and I kept talking while we were trying to get Paul back. So he doesn't have that, and I do, part that Scott said.
No, but I do have Skype going, woo, trying to reconnect you, woo, for 3 or 4 minutes.
Oh, well, that's the gold right there.
It's
the new Skype software, and it just came up with this message. There's something wrong with this call. We'll get back to you.
Thanks.
I'm sure there's somebody working on this right now in Sweden or wherever the hell it is Skype is from.
And the thing is, I don't know what the Mac software is like now, but the new Windows software, there's no buttons to press anymore.
No,
all I can see are your two icons, and you turn blue every time one of you talks. I've not put any effort into figuring out how to use the software properly yet.
So what are you recording with another piece of software then?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
did it have anything to do with the fact that there's 24,068,112 people online using Skype right now? Could that have something to do with it?
Got nothing to do with it.
People logged on as available to talk or actually talking, because I reckon there's only us talking on Skype.
Yeah. Right. So that's reasonable. You do run the Bigfoot page.
So I think we're going to, I don't know. That's probably, I got enough work to do now with all of the crap that we just went through. So I think that, I don't know, the show's been going for almost 2 hours, so I think we're probably in pretty good shape.
Wait a minute.
Oh, wait.
No, it's only an hour. I know it seems long. Dude, it's only an hour.
How is that possible?
The first half of this recording is 51 minutes, and we've been talking for 22 minutes since we started recording.
Yeah, we got time.
It's really not very long. We've got plenty of time to talk about all sorts of stuff.
Time just crawls when we're on these things, doesn't it?
But it seems like a really good show. The first part of the show was really good. It's been shit for the last 15 minutes, literally and figuratively.
So let's do what we normally do when we run out of things to talk about. Let's go to our Bigfoot page and see if I can find something that someone asked.
Oh, what about we got that third caller?
We do have the third caller. So
and you're immediately thinking, shit, another edit. But come on, we got. It'll help incite people to actually put calls out in the future, which I think it's a nice little addition to the show. And thank you for doing it, Brian, because basically I do shit.
It's okay. Here's our third caller.
Hey, my name is Brad Smith from Camarillo, California. And I did have a couple of questions. Actually, I'll just give you one. I'm a skeptic at best regarding Sasquatch. And I wanted to know a couple of things. Number one, don't believe in it. Obviously, I've seen the famous films, or the famous film, which turned out to be fake. Wanted to know why more sightings of Sasquatch have not been seen. Why we've never, and again, I'm a novice at this, so maybe some of these are true. Why there aren't more sightings, like I said. Secondly, why we've never seen one that's sick or ill that someone has run across, or one that's died that we haven't run across. So just curious on if you can answer those questions on why, if there is such a thing, why we don't. You would think a person would stumble upon one of them that's ill or has died, and I'm just really a skeptic on about the whole thing. So if you could answer that, that'd be great. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Another friend of mine from high school. That's so sad.
Seriously? This guy's your friend of yours from high school, too?
Yeah, I had no idea. Seriously, I had no idea Bob or Brad were going to call. I got a little background story on this call, I think, because Brad actually left I posted something on my Facebook page about the Bigfoot, about the call-in number, right? I put that on my wall. And then Brad, because he's still basically a ninth grader, wrote something about, hey, do you still go out in the woods with a 2x4 strapped to your ass? And, you know, because the thing that happened to me. I deleted his message because I just thought it was too cheesy. And so I think he thinks I'm pissed at him. But I'm not. I just don't like usually ass-raping jokes.
So the question is interesting. Why don't we see sick ones?
I think that is. That's the most – I mean, we've discussed the whole why no dead ones. We've done that ad nauseum in another broadcast. But I think it is a good question. You'd think that, you know, I think it's because they have a lot of antioxidants in their diet. That would probably be.
They eat a lot of grapes.
Now, I think, I think part of the thing, and we have mentioned this before, and it does tie into the dying stuff, why isn't a car hit one? You know, what you can't discount – is the possibility, in terms of why there hasn't been absolute verification of these animals, is simply, at least from their perspective, I would suppose, if they in fact have perspectives, is luck, or the lack of luck on the from the point of view of a researcher or science in general. It obviously, if they are there, there's not a lot of them. There's a crap load of territory for something smart, higher primate to hide in. I think there are a lot of, there's more reasons why a hunter wouldn't shoot one than would want to. And so you take those and you still go, oh, what the probability? I go, you know what? Take that into consideration. And the fact that white men, white culture has really only been in the, and I'll just use the Pacific Northwest because I'm really all not that convinced of things, you know, on the other part of the country. I'm open to it, but I'm not absolutely convinced. Pacific Northwest, yes, I am, all the way in British Columbia. But we haven't been here that long. 150 years in any type of relatively large number, and still through all that time, the vast majority of us are sitting in towns and cars. A very, very small percentage of us are out in really gnarly places in the woods where these things would probably be the vast majority of the time.
But if you look at other animals that live in the wild, the ones that turn up in small towns tend to be the sick ones, you know, because they can't hunt as well, that they need food, and so they go
scavenging
in the outskirts of towns rather than being hidden away the way they would normally. So it doesn't make sense that we don't see.
But how would we know they're sick
ones in town?
I mean,
they've got big box of Kleenex with them or something.
Well, yes, that's exactly. My point is, unless they've got, like, you know,
vomiting.
Vomiting and hives.
I saw a Bigfoot. What happened? He fucking spewed
up. He threw up all over me.
Well, presumably it would be thin and emaciated and
yeah. But this is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't know that, I have deer walking through my backyard all the time. I don't know if any of them are sick. How would I know if any of them are sick? I'm not a deer expert.
Well, I think with Brad's question, you know, obviously sick, like when you see, I've seen two or three bears on roads that were clearly emaciated.
Yes, and there are millions of bears in North America.
You know, we might be dealing with an animal that if in fact I think everybody would agree, if they do exist, they have, they've been around quite a bit, you know, probably coexisting with ancestors of ours. So the ones that did were able to survive probably have a particularly robust immune system. So you would probably not maybe have that much illness. Also, there's yet to, you know, maybe there's the possibility, too, that when one is getting sick within a small clan, they just kill him because he got, God damn it, just because he's sick and throwing up in the road, we're not going to let him give us up.
There's also the point that a lot of sick animals hole up. They just, they hide when they're sick.
Yeah. And again, I think if these things are real, they're of such a level of intelligence that, in fact, what would be great, I would love to read any literature pertaining to orangutans and mountain gorillas on this question, because how often is a really sick gorilla found, like in a weakened state?
That's a good point. Well, I don't know.
Dang.
I wish we had a primate expert we could talk to.
Google alert.
I just want to point out now, because it seems like this is winding down.
You're not recording?
I'm not recording any of this. None of this has been recorded. No, I just want to point out to that I have on the TV in front of me with the sound turned down, the Vikings game there at halftime. Brett Favre was knocked out of the game in the first drive, and they scored more points in the first half of this game than I think they have all season long. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but they've scored
Tavares Jackson
has scored 31 points in the first half of that game.
Holy moly. When Favre made the deal with the Vikings, you could easily make the argument, though, that Tavares Jackson was the weakest starting quarterback in the NFL at that point.
That's why they did it.
Perfect place to go. Well, good. Good for them. Except I don't have them in my pool, so I'm a little. In fact, I think Brad doesn't have them. Dale does, so. It's fascinating.
Anyway, I'm
thanks.
Flummoxed by this fact that, you know, this dude, this ancient, you know, quarterback who's 2 years younger than me. Anyway,
Good for him, man.
Tavares came
How
in.
How about Sidney Rice? Sidney Rice, did he catch any touchdowns?
I haven't been paying attention that closely because, you know, I've been doing the show.
More importantly, is Paul still awake?
Paul, wake up.
Do you know, until you said the word touchdown, I didn't know whether you were talking baseball or football.
Generally speaking, Paul, you don't score 31 points in a baseball game.
Remarkably popular over here.
American football?
I've said this before. It's when they play at Wembley, because we now have a regular season game at Wembley. It sells out four or five times over. You know, they the last time this October's game, they had something like 600,000 ticket applications.
Wow.
And that's people obviously applying for between two and four tickets.
Yeah, right. Let's just end. It's going to be like a week's worth of editing for me anyhow. So the longer we go, the worse it gets.
Short and sweet, relatively short and sweet.
Shortish and sweet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we covered a lot of ground. We covered an awful lot of ground. It's because we didn't spend the 38 minutes at the beginning talking about calendars or English holidays or whatever the hell it is we normally talk about. What's that phone number again? The phone number is 612-424-3920 if you want to leave a question or a comment to us. And if we think it's any good, and even if we don't, we'll probably put it on the air because we're desperate for that sort of thing at this point. So anyway, call us with your questions or your comments.
Yes, and if you find a part of a Sasquatch carcass or a full one, please call us first because we would like to share in the glory.
24 hours a day, 612-424-3920. Facebook.com/TheBigfootShow is also where you can leave information about us or yourself or so. That didn't come out right, but you know what I mean. If you want to leave a thing and say hi. Okay.
And depending on how long it takes Brian to edit this, happy Christmas / Easter.
or whatever. Yeah. Whatever religious holiday of your choice.
Have a great Halloween.
Okay, we're done.